ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston.
Beasley switching it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland and Shaqiri have scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in everybody to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. Now, we have a montage of the Copa America win for Argentina and then on to the European Championship final. If you can pull that, Aaron, you let me know when you're ready. Let's run that just to get into the mood for this show tonight. It was Americanazo for Argentina. And here we go.
Se equivoca Acuña y después de Paul. Qué buena pelota. Qué buena pelota para el Fideo, que es el primero de María.
Seconds milking off the watch of referee Esteban Ostojic. He looks at his watches. Messi gave that ball away, but the game ends. Argentina have done it. Messi has done it. They have won the Copa America.
That towards the back post, and Shaw scores for England. An early strike. Luke Shaw. Wow. What a start for England.
Here comes the corner. Is flicked on, bouncing around dangerously, and scrambled in as well. And it's Leonardo Bonucci who's got the vital touch to put Italy level. It's the teenager, Bukayo Saka, one of the youngest players ever to play in the European Championship. He's got to score here to keep England alive. And he doesn't! And Italy are champions of Europe!
It is in Rome, and Italy gets past England in the European Championship final on penalty kicks, 3-2. Donnarumma coming up with two saves on Jadon Sancho. Bukayo Saka, the youngster. It was a poor penalty. Let's not beat around the bush here. Italy, by the way, was unbeaten 33 coming into that match. It was a second-minute goal from Luke Shaw, which got everybody excited and pumped up. 67th minute from Leonardo Bonucci. Now, I would say to England fans, celebrate as best you can what a great tournament this was. I would also say to England fan, let's not micro-break down penalties. If you want to talk about the game, talk about why it wasn't won in 90 minutes. And I think that's the bigger place you got to go to. If we're going to micro-break down penalties and you know, Jadon Sancho and Sacco are too young to take penalties. And, you know, incidentally, Roy Keane came out and, you know, was kind of inferring that certain people were not brave enough to step up, Raheem Sterling and Jack Grealish. Well, Jack Grealish didn't like that, and he was basically quoted on Twitter. He said, quote, "I said I wanted to take one." And this is, he's referring to a penalty. "Such a focus on the penalties, which we should expect." Now, of course, he comes out and says he wanted to take one. He wasn't chosen at that point by Gareth Southgate. But then he went on to soften it up a little bit because he has to, because he's talking about his manager. And he says, "The gaffer has made so many right decisions through this tournament." Gaffer is coach. "And he did tonight. But I won't have people say that I didn't want to take a penalty when I said I will." That's Jack Grealish on Twitter after the whole penalty thing. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. I really want to get people's take tonight on the European Championship final, your thoughts on it. Where did England go wrong? Where did they go right? Copa America, I want to talk about that as well. And I would even put out the question, which one do you prefer, or which one did you prefer, and why? Now, most people are saying the European Championship, but I would love for some people to defend the Copa America because it needs some defending right now. It was Americanazo for Argentina. Lionel Messi winning that first ever major title in a Copa America. First ever major title ever for Argentina over Brazil, of all people, on an Angel Di Maria goal. Now, this is huge for Lionel Messi and the first major title in 28 years. And before you tell me, well, he didn't have a very good final, a couple of things have come out. He may have been playing, well, he was playing injured, according to the coach, Lionel Scaloni. Okay, that's number one. Number two, he carried the team through the tournament. He had 4 goals and 5 assists. He finally got some support that he has needed in big tournaments. You didn't have the craziness of the Argentine FA getting involved. And it's first ever major. It's the first major title. Now, think about this. 28 years, Argentina has not lifted a major title. Think about that. It's pretty incredible. You wouldn't think that, like going into every World Cup because they're a favorite, or every Copa America because they're a favorite, because they're Argentina, right? 28 years. First major title for Argentina. And by the way, get this. Brazil had not lost since 2018 in the World Cup quarterfinals to Belgium. So tough weekend for Brazilian fans. Tough weekend for English fans. On the other hand, I would say England fans, you got to be pretty happy. You got all the way to the final. It's a great young team. There's more to come. Italy, by the way, it's a new Italy under Roberto Mancini. I absolutely love what he has done to that team. Yet on the other hand, Italy also depended on a bit of old school with their two center backs, Leonardo Bonucci and Chiellini. I mean, these two guys were spectacular. No question about it. Right now we're in a delay, by the way, down at BBVA Stadium. There's a doubleheader down there tonight. Honduras in the back end of it. The first game is Panama and Qatar. And then Honduras is in the second game of the night. So there has been a weather delay, or there is a weather delay. I'm just keeping an eye on TV right now. They're re-airing kind of the U.S. and Haiti game. So I'll take some Gold Cup conversation as well. By the way, we're going to give Gold Cup tickets away tonight. We're going to give Dynamo tickets away tonight. We're going to give Dash tickets away. So be ready in commercial breaks. And when we go to commercial break, because I'm in a very giving mood tonight and looking forward to giving out tickets, which I absolutely love to do. All right, so some of our other guests tonight, we will have the former Houston Dynamo defender Jeff Cameron on the show. Stoke City, Queens Park Rangers, he was named the captain. Now, these are really historic. You know, Stoke City formed in 1863. Queens Park Rangers, 139 years ago. Jeff Cameron at FC Cincinnati, came back in town, U.S. international, played his college soccer at West Virginia University in Rhode Island. He'll be on the show tonight. Jeff's always a really, really good interview. By the way, that's a guy that I think can play to 40. No kidding. After what we saw with FC Cincinnati, he did have the assist in that game. He did have a Premier League type air to him. So I'm looking forward to talking to Jeff Cameron. Gabe Chiocca is a longtime friend of mine from Liguria, Italy. Big heavy metal fan. This guy knows his wine, but he is a huge Azzurri fan, huge Juventus fan, and he's going to give us the take from the Italian side of things tonight. John Kolmanich is the Austin FC left back. Now, if you remember, in the beginning of the season in 2021, it was Ben Sweat who was acquired. Austin FC, obviously, rivals to the Dynamo now, rivals to FC Dallas up the road. The Dynamo is going to play him 3 times. Kolmanich is on the show. And one of the reasons is because he played in Slovenia with Maribor, which is a very big club there and very different to Major League Soccer when, you know, you don't win a game over there, you don't go out in public. It's a little bit different in Austin right now because it is an absolute and I say this with ultimate respect. It's a love fest. It is just energy off the charts in that building, and that's something I know we can do here in Houston as well. We just have to get there. We can also talk a little bit about we got shocked 18 days in, Jamie Roots stepping down as a CEO. And I think the first and foremost thing is I hope him and his entire family are in good health because it's all for personal reasons. What does that mean? Nobody knows. Could mean a bunch of things. Taking your calls. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. 713-780-3776. Which did you prefer, the Copa America or the European Championships? You heard at the end of that montage, it's coming to Rome, it's coming to Rome, Leonardo Bonucci. Bonucci went on to say, we were special that we believed. We believed day one. We never got tired of being together. We had a burning desire to stay together, and it's incredible we achieved it. Again, I want to go to Roberto Mancini and what he meant to this Italy team. And Mancini, as a very, very creative, attack-oriented player in his days at Sampdoria and Lazio and places like that, implemented in this team without a question. Okay, he's got an incredible young goalkeeper in Donnarumma. And Donnarumma is going to be another Dino Zoff. He's going to be another Gianluigi Buffon for Italy. Remarkable. I mean, I think he's only 21, 22 years of age. He's going to be a mainstay in goal for Italy for a long time. The back four going into the final, obviously, was missing Leonardo Spinazzola, who was one of the best players of the whole tournament. Emerson replaced him. Had some struggles, Emerson, we have to be fair. Chiellini and Bonucci were the two center backs. Di Lorenzo, the right back. And they had a big problem on that second-minute goal from Luke Shaw, no question. Verratti, Jorginho, and Barella. Jorginho and Verratti had remarkable tournaments, both in very differing ways. We'll get into that. Insigne, Immobile, and Federico Chiesa. Now, Federico Chiesa, as we all know, in the final went off injured, right? Bernadeschi came on for him. But another one of these guys that can just pick a ball up and run with it, break lines, pull apart tactics. The greatest, and I say this on this show a lot, for all of us who loves X's and O's and 4-3-3 and 4-2-3-1 and 4-4-2 and, you know, 4-5-1, whatever. I always look at those things as starting points. Teams morph into different things during a game numerically based on where players go, space, movement, how committed they are to attack, how committed they are to get higher up the field. It all changes and morphs into different things. But I think it's important to state what the starting point is, right? And to get an idea of what that starting point is. But when you talk about Italy, you're talking about a very different Italy now. An Italy that has some panache to it. It's a little more attack-oriented. It's younger. It's incisive. It's interesting. It's exciting. But Chiesa, back to my point of the greatest thing that can break down a good tactical plan is simply an individual player. One like him that dribbles and beats people. Okay, so if Chiesa picked up a ball and dribbled past Mason Mount, now he's forcing a decision out of Declan Rice or Phillips. Or if Chiesa gets behind, beats those two, and is now running at a back three in Maguire, Stones, and Walker, you know, people have to make decisions. The minute he beats one person, the alignment breaks up because people have to put pressure on the ball. There's no question. So these dribblers, these are the guys you got to have on your team. And I will relate this now to the Houston Dynamo. We do not have that player out of midfield. Do not have it. That can pick a ball up deeper and run at people and break things up. We do not have that player. 713-780-3776. It's a problem because those players help you get up the field. I think Derek Jones, as he grows, can step in front of people, win a ball, and eat up space very quickly. We've seen that. But it really has to come out of the other two, and that combination is either Joe Corona, who to me is more of a possession player, makes space for himself, keeps things moving, gets others involved. I don't know if he's the killer pass guy. Memo has struggled in the playmaker role. He's also played, technically they say he's playing wide, but he's not. Todd Ramos has told everybody that his job is then to pull in and play like a twin 10 and to create overloads. Also creates problems when you lose the ball because there's areas out wide. But I meant to stay on the Euros here. But I'm talking about dribblers, Raheem Sterling. I'm talking about Angel Maria, which was pretty funny because I was with some friends of mine at the Argentine Steakhouse Patagonia, and we're talking, and we're going, man, I don't know if I would have started Di Maria, who was so good off the bench against Colombia. He literally changed the game 180 degrees because he came in the game against Colombia, who at the time was outplaying Argentina. First ball he picks up, he runs past guys. Second ball he picks up, he runs past a few. And now all of a sudden the whole Argentine team is in the Colombian half of the field simply because Di Maria was subbed on. Well, he starts. So it's one of those where you're going, well, you know, I wouldn't have started him. And then all of a sudden DePaul hits a long ball. And as he's lobbing it, I go, well, but I think today I would have started him. And, of course, he scores, right? So it's pretty funny. We were all laughing. But, just great to see Argentina get it done, too, for Lionel Messi. And he did carry them throughout the tournament. He was the player of the tournament. Colombia had that incredible free kick. I thought they were good as well. I mean, Brazil's Brazil. It was all them in the second half against Argentina. But back to the Euros, Kyle Walker, outstanding for England. Stones, Maguire, all good. Pickford, a little nervy in the semifinal, better in the final. Trippier was very good. Phillips and Rice throughout the tournament have been fantastic. Shaw. How all those haters at Manchester United on Luke Shaw. Good Lord. Good going forward. And the book on him as well is you know, defensively, but good player. Man, what a finish too in the second minute. Mason Mount, Sterling, and Kane. I think England's biggest mistake was not picking off a second goal in the first 30 minutes of the game. And Harry Kane was checking back into midfield, was getting turned, and delivering, defense-splitting passes, eye-of-the-needle passes, passes that will turn lines and get opposing players running back towards their own goal. But even when Luke Shaw scores, I'm sitting there going, this is Italy. They're experienced. This is far from over. Far, far from over. But at the end of the day, if you're going to really blame it on penalties and you're an England fan, I think we're missing the point here because I do believe you have to ask the question, why didn't you get it done in 90 minutes? And I think people are going to say that they felt Gareth Southgate was too conservative, too defensive, wasn't aggressive enough. A lot of great ones going. Jimmy Gabriel out in Seattle. Hugely important guy in soccer history in the United States, Seattle Sounders. Show dedicated to Jimmy Gabriel. Also to the great Paul Mariner, the former English international. That's a tough one because I knew Paul, like so many did. Most everybody in the soccer business knew him because he was just the greatest guy. Never pretentious. Oh, my God, never pretentious. I mean, I see some of the guys walking around at times, that have played in MLS and, you're young, you think a little bit differently. This guy played in the 82 World Cup. I mean, fantastic. Played for Bobby Robson. You wouldn't have known it. Great soccer mind. Helped a lot of young players. Coach in MLS. Coach over in England. And tremendous goal scorer for Ipswich Town. So, Paul Mariner. Tough. Very, very tough. That's all I can say. This is LCD Sound System when someone great is gone. We're going to take a break here. Before we do, a quick word here for FM Kitchen and Bar. It's north of Washington Avenue. It's in the Rice Military area. If you're going on Shepherd, it'll be on your right-hand side. FM Kitchen and Bar. Great spot. Craft cocktails, fresh food, incredible beer garden patio outside. I mean, just incredible. I take my dog Oso over there. Love it over there. You get a great cocktail there. All kinds of beers. All your great favorite Houston craft beers are there. And the other great news is FM Kitchen and Bar opened a new location, 907 Westheimer, next to Velvet Taco, right near Westheimer and Montrose. Really, really suggest you get into FM Kitchen and Bar. And you go in there, you ask for Jason. But they're making it happen there. Big, big outdoor patio. So if you got kids and a family and you want a really good cocktail, but you also want good food, not somebody just dumping some alcohol into, you know, fruit juice and calling it a drink. I mean, these are real cocktails. FM Kitchen and Bar, both in the Rice Military area, and 907 West Time. And this is Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com.
I'm Greg Berhalter. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
So that's U.S. men's national team coach Greg Berhalter. The U.S. defeated Haiti 1-0 on a goal from Sam Vines of Colorado this past Sunday. And the U.S. will be in action again this week. I believe it's Martinique next for the U.S. Men's national team. That'll be on Thursday. And then the Mexican national team will be in business on Wednesday, and I believe they're taking on Guatemala. So Gold Cup is rolling on. I've got Gold Cup tickets. In fact, I'm going to give a pair away right now. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to give Aaron your email address, and these tickets will be sent digitally to you. So I've got a pair right now to the Group D doubleheader. It's Grenada and Qatar and Panama, Honduras, this Saturday, July 17th. First game's at 6:30 at BBVA Stadium. Fifth caller right now will get a pair of tickets to that Group D doubleheader that will take place at BBVA Stadium. Right now, tonight's matchup between Qatar and Panama and Honduras and Grenada, still in a rain delay down there, lightning delay. So again, it's the fifth caller at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue our talk on the Euros and Copa America. I would love to get somebody to weigh in and defend the Copa America a little bit. Why you might like it better than the Euros. Everybody's very, very Eurocentric here. Is it simply just better quality, better teams, better players? Is that where we're at? I like the nationalistic side of South America because there's less, you know, most of these teams are made up of Colombians, Brazilians, Argentines. You don't have all the naturalization which goes on and naturalized players that goes on in Europe. Both different in very differing ways, but it does lead to a little bit different of a feistiness maybe. Or genuine dislike for each other when it comes to competition. So 713-780-3776 is the number to call in, 713-780-3776. Jeff Cameron in the next segment. Gabe Chioca will come on, a good friend of mine, longtime friend from Liguria, Italy. We will talk Italy and what Roberto Mancini is doing with that team. I think we might get into some Euros sort of top players. There's all kinds of incredible transfers going on or whatever else is on your mind. 713-780-3776 is the number. And Aaron, just please save that email for me and we'll get all that after and we'll get everybody the tickets they deserve. And great opportunity to get down to the Gold Cup. By the way, we wrapped up a great, great time out at Hugh O'Connor's 7620 Katy Freeway. Big thank you to Dave and Peter out there, Goose, and everybody who made us feel really home there. It was packed for the European Championship final. And I would, if you were new time, you know, patrons at Hugh O'Connor's, go back there. It is a great place to watch games. It's the home of the Houston Liverpool Supporters Club, but you can watch any games there. Just good people, great guys, from Ireland that survived and got through the pandemic, working their tails off. One of these places that you really want to support, just like FM Kitchen and Bar. And they support soccer. And they're longtime supporters of this show. We've had a long time established relationship. So we had a lot of fun out there. And I appreciate all the guests who came out. You know, we had a whole bunch of different people. We had the head coaches, Diego Bocanegra, U of H women, had Rice, Texas A&M coaches, everybody out there, Brian Lee, G. Guerrero. We appreciate everybody making their way out. Eddie Robinson was out there. We had Josh Gardner, former LA Galaxy. Fox 26 is Ruben Dominguez, good friend of mine, who's into music and soccer, you know, supported soccer nicely in mainstream media. We appreciate him. So a lot of great people came out. Jan Christensen from Danish Institutions, Ian Veery. I know I'm missing a bunch of people, but it was a great time. So, again, a big thank you to Hugh O'Connor's Bar. All right. So let's talk about the Euros and some of the top players here. Start with some of the defenders. I'm going to go to Kyle Walker of England. Thought he was outstanding in the three-back system. 31 years of age, athletically, still providing cover right and left. Very difficult guy to beat. Man, rock solid, Kyle Walker. I don't think any question. And he got a bit of a break because he didn't have to go up to another one of the top players of the Euros, Leonardo Spinazzola. Walker was dealing a little bit more with Emerson, but Leonardo Spinazzola was the left back who was playing so well in this tournament before the Achilles bad injury against Belgium. But he was really bringing that width, that aggression. I would have loved to have seen that matchup between Spinazzola and Kyle Walker. But Spinazzola, you know, with that width and aggression and getting forward, that's part of Italy's new world order when it comes to the way they're playing. Very different. Let's go to Denmark. Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture loves this guy. So do I. Simon Kjær, what a leader. Great defensively, center back. And you will also remember him during the whole Christian Eriksen thing, the way he just handled that situation, helped to support Eriksen's partner. Simon Kjær is a great defender. Solid, tough. Very inspirational leader. Luke Shaw. All right, England, you don't like him. Some people don't. I think you liked him 2 minutes in. I thought he had a great tournament. Up and down, aggressive, left-footed, got the goal in the final. Very good game against the Ukraine as well, if you remember that game he played. Who are some of your favorite players in the Euro? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Yeah, I'm going to go to Giorgio Chiellini. I mean, who didn't like him? 36 years of age, inspirational leader. He's a throwback defender, him and Leonardo Bonucci. These guys apparently vacationed together. That old school blend with kind of the new with Chiesa and Spinazzola and, you know, I love that mix. I absolutely love that mix. This was a very different Italy. It's going to be a very different Italy in the future. Some of their tight play in areas that were tight, just the precision, the technique was off the charts. And by the way, they dominated every statistical category. England had one shot on goal. It was the Luke Shaw goal. Declan Rice. Wow. Now, Declan Rice proved that, you know, you don't have to play in Manchester United or City or Chelsea, you know, in order to be somebody that's a key player on the national team. Declan Rice on the big stage was exceptional. Excellent against Italy. West Ham United played big. Love it. Calvin Phillips, another one. Leeds United. Came through the Leeds Academy. The energy and the combination with him and Rice, wow. That is a midfield that covers ground. That is a midfield that's got a lot of good elements because Phillips is very good with the ball as well. But these two guys, energy, cut out passing lanes, fabulous. Joaquin Mayle. Now, here's a guy that's got a crazy work ethic. His stock really rose in this Euros. Had the assist against the Czech Republic. You remember that ball he gets out wide, hits it with the outside of his right foot? He's right-footed playing on the left side of midfield, by the way. That may have something to do with him hitting that with his right foot. But you know what? If he let that come across his left foot, he might have allowed the defender back in, hit that ridiculous outside of the foot, you know, right-footed cross. He scored against Wales and Russia. He's only 24. Stock has gone up. Price tag has gone up. So has this guy, Pedri. By the way, most people, I don't think, know he was 18 years of age for Spain. Incredible tournament. 18. Simply class and just mature beyond his years. I mean, these guys are so much fun. That's what's great about these tournaments, because you get alerted to certain people and, you know, then you're able to follow them throughout their career. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. I know it's a delay down at BBVA Stadium. We're waiting for Qatar and Panama, Honduras and Grenada. That was supposed to have gotten underway at 6 o'clock. They would have been just about finishing the Qatar-Panama game now. It's going to be a long night for fans, players, staff. You forget about that, staff, on a day like today down at BBVA Stadium. And then this Saturday, it's Grenada and Qatar, or some people say Qatar, and then Panama, Honduras. And by the way, Qatar, 146 days from today, is hosting a World Cup in the winter. Pretty incredible. They're over here trying to gain experience. What many people are forgetting is that they created a domestic league there and brought in a lot of foreign players, like Hector Moreno, the Mexican national team defender that's been on the show, in order to get in and around the Qatari players and help accelerate their player development, obviously, as they're hosting the World Cup. They want to perform well in front of their country and all that stuff. Still hard to believe there's something, a World Cup being played in Qatar amid all kinds of corruption allegations. So Qatar is here, and they're getting experience in these tournaments. They played in the Asian Cup, Copa America, and all kinds of other things. Wow, I didn't even get to a lot of the other players. All right, so I'm going to name them real quick. Marco Verratti had a great tournament. Jorginho, he sees things early. Great reader of the game. Romelu Lukaku, Belgium, had four goals. Cristiano Ronaldo had five in four games for Portugal. Mikkel Damsgaard, 21 years old. He's the guy who replaced Eriksen, had the free kick against England. Patrick Schick, how about him? Five goals for the Czech Republic. Federico Chiesa, we talked all about him. Harry Kane, as always. Raheem Sterling, his dribbling, upsetting the tactics of opponents, proved the doubters wrong, got the start in the beginning. Everybody, oh, why should he be there? Well, he scored a lot of goals for England. He was their biggest threat. Donnarumma in goal. I mean, what can you say? 22 years of age, did it in penalty kicks against Spain and England. You know, he didn't have much to do in the beginning of the tournament. But then, as the tournament went on, stepped up and made the big saves in the big games. And coach, it's got to be Roberto Mancini. A mix of the modern and old. This is a sleek, new, incisive version. It's a fun version. Interesting version of the Italian national team. This was New Order, World in Motion. This was an England song. John Barnes, I think, raps in this. All right, we're going to take a break here. It's, as always, brought to you this time by Advantage BMW Midtown. Big thank you to Advantage BMW Midtown. My friends down there, they've hooked me up numerous times. They take me through sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. I've been in a sedan before. I'm in an X5 now. You go down there, Justin will take care of you. I went in there to get service. He had me in a loaner car in a New York minute. Didn't waste any time. Got right back to work. Big thanks to Justin and Stephen Prather down there. Remember, though, it's Advantage BMW Midtown. Midtown. Advantage BMW Midtown. Thank you for your support of soccer in Houston, Texas. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock.
Hi, guys. I'm Hector Moreno. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, Jeff Cameron, 36 years of age, still getting it done. He joins us now. Coming back to Major League Soccer with FC Cincinnati. Jeff, as everybody knows, spent tremendous years here in Houston, Stoke City, Queens Park Rangers. Remarkable career. He joins us now. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, Jeff. Today I told somebody, I said, Jeff Cameron's playing till he's 40 at least.
I mean, that would be a pretty great accomplishment. And for me, as long as I keep myself going, take care of my body and all that kind of stuff, then I don't see why not.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, watching you with FC Cincinnati in town and that draw, you know, there was a Premiership air about you. Let's face it. I want to know.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, there was no, there was real. There really was. There was a Premiership air about you. You were orchestrating things for Cincinnati. I want to know, at what point in England was there a point that you remember where you just kind of said, "Wow, I'm becoming a better player." You know, it's all kind of coming and crystallizing for me.
You know, I think it comes to the point where when you're playing with guys every single day that are at such a high level, that they're playing for the national team and on a consistent basis, and then you're, I think, like every weekend you're playing against world class players, and I think, you know, just you have to step up to that level, and I think the pressure, the intensity, everything is, it makes you a better player. It challenges you to a different level, essentially, of you know, preparation on and off the field, how you train, and in over and obviously in Europe, and where what it's starting to become here in the United States is it's becoming it's ruthless. It's you know, every single day you have to perform, and if you don't perform, you're not playing, and the next guy right next to you is as good as you, or if not better. And it's about finding form and all that kind of stuff. It all plays a part.
Jeff Cameron joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. I'm assuming that goes for Stoke, that goes for Queen's Park Rangers as well, because it is a different kind of pressure over there. Let's face it. So you come back to Major League Soccer now with the pressure maybe ratcheted down a bit. Is that a challenge for you to make sure that, you know, you impose enough of that pressure on yourself, Yapstam, your coach is doing it? How does that work?
Yeah, I think it's actually more pressure, to be honest, because you've been playing at a certain level for so long. And not to say the MLS is at a lower level or the caliber of players is any different. It's just that you've been so used to training certain ways, and the environment is definitely different for sure. And for me, that's what I'm trying to bring into, you know, my professionalism, my attitude, and, you know, just the experience that I've had being over there and learning that. Essentially, that's what I'm, you know, trying to give Cincinnati now. But, you know, overall, I think it's just, it's a different level of, you know, coming here. You have to, you know, people expect you to do things, and, you know, you've been playing at a certain level, and it's just, for me, I feel more pressure because it's like, I don't want to come back here looking as, oh, he's just coming back here to retire or, you know, like just take it easy. Well, I had the opportunity to stay in England and in Europe, and I turned it down because I wanted to come back and I wanted to give as much as I could to come over here. You, my family, my son, and everything like that. And it was more of a decision based on family and not on, you know, playing wise, because I think I have a lot to offer still. So for me, it's still that I can give that and I can still play at a high, high level. And obviously playing for Yapstam, who's, you know, a world-class center half, I think the pressure's only on because it's more for me. I can't have an off game. I can't have an off training session because, you know, I think he expects, you know, me personally to play at a different level because of where I've come from and where I've been. So I think, you know, I don't want to show any different. If
yeah,
that makes
that's interesting.
Any sense.
Yeah, no, that makes tons of sense because everybody's going to go, look, Jeff Cameron, Premier League. He's got to be the best player on the field, right? So there's that pressure you're talking about. But I noticed you were talking to Yap a lot, and it looks like you're kind of one of his right-hand men. Is there anything else you can learn about the center back position from him at this point?
You know, I'm actually learning a lot in a Dutch style as well. You know, possession base where, you know, I feel kind of vulnerable sometimes of, you know, when I'm dropping deep and almost at, I don't know if you've seen in times where we have the ball and I'm almost on my 18, and I'm dropping to give the midfielder more space and time. So as I drop deeper, you know, when we have possession with our fullbacks or our midfielders, if I'm dropping, you know, 10, 15 yards instead of 5 yards or maybe 10 yards, I'm dropping 15, 20 or so deeper to give more of an angle. But if the ball comes back to me, I can circulate it around and I can control the tempo, but also I'm creating more space between the forwards that are pressuring me, and it's more distant. So they're probably going to say, oh, I can't get there, or they might come halfway and realize, oh, I'm not going to be able to get there, and then that's when I'm able to pass it around them. So, you know, about spaces and showing different angles where, you know, before I think in England, it's more of like, you know, you get it, you pass it, you move, but you squeeze the line, you keep it really, really condensed, and you keep it really, really tight because things are so quick. And I think also, like, you know, the heat and all that controls the tempo in the U.S. You know, you can't play high-pressure games, you know, high pressure in, for 90 minutes. It's impossible, especially when you're playing 90 degrees. So there are going to be times where you have to high pressure, and then you can only do that for 4 or 5 minutes, and then you sit back and kind of do a little bit of lower block or mid block. But learning a different style in a Dutch way of just manipulating spaces and to keep the possession up and just to slowly move pieces around.
So he expects you to be quite the tempo setter, and of course you've got the skill set to do it. You're a great passer of the ball, but is that fair to say? You're somewhat of a tempo setter for the team.
Yeah, I guess you know, you learn because it's like, you know, if you need to speed it up, you'll hit a firmer pass and you try to get it all wide, but also you want to draw them in. So it just depends on the pass and how the speed of the pass, and you know, just it's kind of just you're enticing the players to kind of pressure you into the step, and as soon as they step, that's when you start. You move it quicker, and you know how you draw them in a little bit. You slow passes, then all of a sudden it's a quick pass through to the midfield or forward, and then it's a 1-2, and it's sharp, it's quick, and it changes the tempo. So it's almost like you get the ball from the keeper, and then you start going from there, and you're just kind of waiting, and then as soon as you see that opening, you can split a line of defense. But I think it's a mixture of both. I have a lot, like, you know, the fullbacks and the center halves, I think, where he wants to play out of the back, and we try to do that as best as we can. And, you know, there are some games where you have to be a little bit more direct than others, and then there's some games where you're going to keep the ball for the majority of the game, and it just depends on your opponent. But I think, you know, just learning, I think this is time where we're getting better and better. I mean, like I said, it was a great opportunity to come back to Houston and felt the warm welcome, and you know, Houston gave definitely pressured us a bit, but there are times where we kept the tempo and kept it going, and obviously playing in Houston has its benefits when it's super, super hot.
Yeah, everybody was excited for you coming back. Jeff Cameron joining us, former Dynamo, Stoke City, Queens Park Rangers, now at FC Cincinnati in Major League Soccer. Jeff, I try to remind people what it means in the big scheme of Queens Park Rangers and you being named captain. We got a minute. Address that in a minute. We'll go to break, and if I could have you for another 5-6 minutes after the break, are you willing
to
sit
through
the break? Okay, let's do that.
Problem.
So just really quickly, hit on what that meant to be the captain of Queens Park Rangers.
Yeah, it was obviously a big accomplishment, you could say. It's a lot of things that you have to learn to do off the field. You know, you're having constant meetings with the manager, you're representing the players, they ask you questions, just logistical things, what would be beneficial for the players and the team as a whole. And I think it's just more responsibility, essentially. But I took that with pride, and with honor and the fact that, you know, I wasn't just representing myself as an individual. I'm representing a club and a team and the players, and you're the spokesperson for the team. So there was and especially for the year that we've had and going through COVID and all that kind of stuff, like, there was a lot of things that were thrown at me, essentially. And, I think I stepped up to the occasion, and it was a great honor representing the club.
No question. I think it's amazing. Jeff, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Let's do a little bit more with you. Really, really excited that you're on the show tonight. You're giving us some great information. By the way, you're sounding like a little bit like a coach to me. I'm going to ask you about that when we get back. So I'm giving you a commercial break to think about it, all right? Jeff Cameron joining us tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. You give John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm a call. They're personal injury attorneys. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, all you got to do is call 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. More with Jeff Cameron when we come back.